And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
April the 18th, 2021 marked the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther's testimony before the Diet of Worms, with Lutherans around the world observing the event in different ways. The Evangelical Lutheran Church of Argentina, for example, held an online conference on April 16 to 18th to mark the event, featuring free lectures by faculty members of the IELA Seminary in Buenos Aires. Professor Antonio R. Schimpf spoke on reflection on the Word of God in relation to the anniversary. Professor Jose Pavzela discussed the historical context of the Diet of Worms, and Professor Sergio Arshelska addressed the event's continued significance for the Church today. These lectures in Spanish are available to watch online at the IELA's website. In the United States, meanwhile, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the LCMS, officially designated April the 18th, Here I Stand Sunday. The LCMS made a number of materials available to mark the date on its website, including a Bible study and bulletin insert. The church also released several videos highlighting the anniversary. LCMS President Matthew Harrison, for example, highlighted how the faith which inspired Martin Luther at the Diet of Worms also led in time to the founding of the LCMS, which will celebrate its 175th anniversary in 2022. It's quite impossible to imagine the existence of the Missouri Synod or any Lutheran churches in the world without the events of this week 500 years ago, he explained. 500 years later, the church is increasingly called to confess before the world and even political authorities. We stand firm with the confession of Luther. We believe in the scriptures, and our conscience is bound to these scriptures, which teach us the free forgiveness of Christ in his cross and resurrection. President Harrison also conducted an interview with the Reverend Dr. Cameron McKenzie to discuss the history of Luther's confession at the Diet of Worms. Dr. McKenzie is a professor at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. The Reverend Dr. Johanna Pohjola, Diocesan Dean and Bishop-Elect of the Evangelical Lutheran Mission Diocese of Finland, the ELMDF, has been charged by Finland's Prosecutor General with incitement against a group of people. The charges stem from a 2004 booklet published by Luther Foundation Finland, the legal entity behind the ELMDF, which articulates historic Christian teaching on human sexuality. As a Christian, I do not want to and cannot discriminate against or despise anyone created by God, Dean Pohjola said in reaction to being charged. Every human being created by God and redeemed by Christ is equally precious. At the same time, he continued, this does not remove the fact that according to the Bible and the Christian conception of man, homosexual relations are against the will of God, and marriage is intended only between a man and a woman. This is what the Christian Church has always taught and will always teach. Finland's Prosecutor General began an investigation of the ELMDF in 2019 for its booklet Male and Female, He Created Them, Homosexual Relationships Challenge the Christian Concept of Humanity. Despite an earlier investigation by Helsinki police, which concluded no laws had been broken, the booklet was published in 2004. Finland legalized same-sex marriage in 2017. The booklet argues that homosexual activity must be identified as sin by the Church on the basis of the teachings of Scripture. The author, Dr. Päivi Räsänen, a Finnish Member of Parliament, further argues that a failure to recognize sin as sin undermines the very need for a saviour. Dr. Räsänen has now been charged with incitement by the Prosecutor General, both for the booklet and for other comments on human sexuality. As Dean Pohjola is Editor-in-Chief of Luther Foundation Finland's publications, including the booklet Male and Female, He Created Them, he also was charged. This decision of the Prosecutor General says a lot about our time, Dean Pohjola commented. While I am concerned about the state of religious freedom in our country, I trust that the judiciary will make the right decision. The International Lutheran Council has earlier expressed concern about the investigation of Lutherans in Finland for upholding historic Christian teaching. That concern is deepening. Recent actions in Finland have created an international scandal which continues to grow, said the Reverend Dr. Timothy Quill, General Secretary of the International Lutheran Council. The implications of the decision to charge Dr. Pahola and Pavi Rasanen are clear. If the authorities are willing to do this as to a respected pastor, a reverend doctor and bishop-elect, as well as a member of parliament and a former minister of the interior, then that sends a message of fear and intimidation to everyone in Finland who follows the scripture's teaching on human sexuality. Faithful Christians need to demonstrate solidarity with their suffering Finnish Lutheran brothers and sisters, General Secretary Quill continued. We must not be silent, but express righteous indignation at the actions of the Finnish authorities and demand an end to the persecution of those who adhere to historic Christian teaching on sexuality. I encourage Christians around the world to pray for Juana and Pavi and to follow the example and command of Jesus, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you. Matthew 5:44. The ELMDF is a member church of the International Lutheran Council, a global association of confessional Lutheran church bodies representing millions of Lutherans worldwide. Funerals will no longer be limited to 30 mourners from May the 17th, the government has announced. The Ministry of Housing, Communities and Local Government said the legal limit on funeral goers would be removed as part of the next stage of lockdown easing expected on May the 17th. Instead, the capacity will be determined by how many people could be accommodated in venues such as places of worship or funeral homes while maintaining social distancing. This would apply to both indoor and outdoor venues, and all organisers must continue to be COVID secure and follow social distancing rules, it said. While venue capacities will vary, many will let significantly more than 30 people attend, the department said. Robert Jenrick, the community's secretary, said the British people have made huge sacrifices throughout the pandemic to protect the NHS and save lives, and nowhere is that more apparent than in the painful restrictions on the numbers attending funerals. We are now in a position to remove those limits and allow more friends and family to pay their respects. The department said that the limits for other life or commemorative events were expected to remain as set out in the roadmap. Under Step 3 of the roadmap, from no earlier than May the 17th, up to 30 people will be able to attend weddings, receptions and wakes, as well as other types of significant life events, including bar mitzvahs and christenings. Most social contact rules outside will also be lifted, although gatherings of more than 30 people will remain illegal. Indoors, a rule of six or two households will apply, although the government has said it will keep under review whether it is safe to increase this. Indoor hospitality, entertainment venues such as cinemas and soft play areas, the rest of the accommodation sector and indoor adult group sports and exercise classes will also reopen. Limited crowds will also be allowed at sporting events and foreign holidays could be permitted for people living in England. All other restrictions on social contact could be lifted from June the 21st, allowing for larger events to go ahead. Israel on Sunday held a national day of mourning for the 45 lives lost in a stampede at a religious festival in Upper Galilee, which included a 24-year-old British student, Moshe Bergman, originally from Manchester, who had travelled to Israel to study at a yeshiva in Jerusalem, but died in the crush at Mount Meron in the early hours of Friday morning. He was buried at midnight in Jerusalem, according to a funeral notice published by Israeli media, although his family were not in attendance as they live overseas. However, a group of mourners, including many who did not know him personally, attended his levier, a Jewish ceremony. The Israeli government cancelled its cabinet meeting on Sunday as a mark of respect, while the blue and white national flag was flown at half-mast across the country. Concerts and other public events were postponed, while schools in Jerusalem said they would spend the day studying the disaster. The 45 victims of the tragedy were laid to rest before sundown on Friday, and then after sundown on Saturday, in accordance with Jewish custom. According to the Israeli Foreign Ministry, six of the victims were US citizens and two were Canadian citizens. Among the victims, a dozen children and teenagers, including a nine-year-old boy. Several families lost more than one relative to the stampede, which also killed a father of 11 children. The stampede occurred at the Lag Boma religious festival in the hilltop village of Mount Meron. The ceremonies held in honor of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, a 2nd century sage and mystic. It is understood that a group of worshippers slipped on a staircase leading to a narrow walkway where dozens were crushed to death and around 150 people were injured. Around 100,000 ultra-Orthodox Jews gathered at the festival, which also features the ceremonial lighting of bonfires. Ultra-Orthodox community members at the scene said a police barrier had exacerbated the situation as it stopped people from escaping the crush. Israeli police have launched an investigation into the cause of the stampede and whether it could have been avoided, and a government inquest may follow. On Sunday, former Israeli police chief Asaf Hefes called for the Mount Meron festival to be halted for up to 5 years as the authorities drew up plans to improve safety measures. Over the past 13 years, 3 official reports had warned of the risks of overcrowding at the venue, but despite this, the event went ahead on Thursday evening without crowd size restrictions. The names of both parents, and not just the father, will now be included on marriage certificates in England and Wales following new changes to the registration system by the Home Office. A new electronic system, which goes live on May the 4th, will be introduced to modernise and speed up the process, helping to support the backlog of marriages. Marriages are currently registered by the couple signing a register book, which is held at each register office in churches and chapels and at religious premises registered for marriage. The Home Office said the creation of a single electronic marriage register would save time and money and be more secure, as the new system eliminates the need for data to be extracted from hard copies. The department said that as well as simplifying the registration system, the changes would correct a historic anomaly by allowing the names of both parents to appear on the marriage entry. These regulations to amend the Marriage Act mark the biggest changes to the marriage registration system since 1837, a spokesperson said. The changes have been made in consultation with stakeholders such as the Church of England. The Reverend Dr. Malcolm Brown, Director of Mission and Public Affairs for the Church of England, said, "We are very pleased that the marriage registration system can now include the names of mothers as well as fathers on registers. Changing practices that go back as many years is never straightforward, but we believe the new system changes as little as possible in terms of the couple's experience of their church wedding, and that the clergy will find the new regulations become second nature very quickly. Weddings can currently take place with up to 15 attendees in premises that are permitted to open in line with government guidance." Pope Francis has decreed that cardinals and other Vatican staff can no longer accept gifts worth more than 40 euros, about £35, in his latest crackdown on corruption within the Holy See. It will mean an end to the sometimes lavish gifts and generous cash donations that cardinals and monsignors have received in the past from benefactors and supporters. "All employees are prohibited to receive gifts worth more than 40 euros," the Pope said in a strongly worded document that was issued on Thursday by the Vatican. Senior managers will also be required to declare that they have no past criminal convictions and that they are not subject to investigations regarding organized crime, corruption, fraud, terrorism, laundering money from criminal activity, exploitation of minors, human trafficking, or tax evasion. They are not allowed to invest money in tax havens or to put money into companies whose principles are against the church doctrine, arms manufacturers, for instance. The rules apply to anyone in a management position in the Holy See, as well as those who have judicial or administrative roles. The fact that the Pope felt it necessary to issue such a tough set of rules is a measure of the scandals that have dogged the Vatican in recent years, most recently over the purchase of a former Harrods property in Sloane Avenue in Chelsea, London. The Vatican had hoped to turn the building into luxury apartments as an investment, but the deal is being scrutinised by Vatican investigators amid fears that the Holy See was swindled out of millions of euros by brokers and middlemen. The reference to exploitation of minors is particularly pointed given the huge number of sex abuse scandals that have rocked the Catholic Church in the last few decades. Any official found to have given any false or mendacious declaration could be summarily dismissed. Pope Francis may be famously frugal, but he has received some lavish presents himself in the past. In 2017, he was given a €180,000 Lamborghini Huracan in the Vatican colours of white and yellow, while in 2013, he was given a Harley Davidson motorcycle. Both were auctioned off, with the proceeds going to charity. And finally, Pastor Jamie went to Israel on holiday. Somebody suggested he should visit the Wailing Wall while he was there. He felt a right fool because he was the only one with a harpoon.
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.